the first broadcast of The French Connection. I am your host, Daryl. I am the witness, and we are going to have an hour packed with discussion and some interesting problems with the connection, but that's okay. Tonight's show is my first, and I hope to bring you some interesting subjects as well as some challenging ideas that I would like to place in your minds for the future. As you may well be well aware, I have been a host on another show, the John Moore Show, and I'd like to thank John for the opportunity to have spoken to the listeners. But tonight's show, we're going to continue in the same kind of vein, and I'm going to ask everybody in the listening audience to give me a call this evening, and the number is, as usual, it's 1-800-313-9443. The last show I did for John Moore, I touched upon a subject that found a great response, and it was about the abuse of children. And as I mentioned in that show, I have a personal reason for being interested in that. And it also has something to do with the degradation of morals in the country, and I want to touch upon the moral problems that our country's facing today. And you don't have to look very far to see it. Whether it be the promotion of homosexual values on our television programs or, looking at friends and having them discuss that they're all big fans of pornography. And, these problems are really a moral decay in our nation. And I think they're interesting subjects because they really are at the heart of the problems that we face in the country. So tonight I would like to have people weigh in on their and tell me how they feel about these subjects, because for me, I try to live a life that that brings me joy, and the joy that I usually find in my life comes from doing things that are morally centered, and those centered feelings for me are family, friends, kindnesses, and doing the kinds of things that I feel good about. And it's been also my experience that any time I move away from that feeling, I end up injuring myself. And it seems today that we get promoted away from that center. We get promoted away from morality and from goodness. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I think if the slide continues, I don't think there's much worth fighting for in America. So what we need to do is to take a look at these things on an individual basis. How do you feel about them? Is your moral compass out of alignment? Are you looking at the world askew with pornography and with homosexuality and all these other things? And here's the thing I'd like to tell you. I mean, I don't believe in any way that homosexuals are in any way criminals. What it is the promotion of that lifestyle that I find questionable, and it's in that promotion I find it pulling us away from loving each other in a family setting. And there is an article that I was reading that I will bring up after the break about a young boy, 6 years old, who ended up in a relationship, a homosexual family, and he's just found it difficult. So I'd love it if you could weigh in on these subjects and give me a call at the radio station, and we'll talk about it. I'll see you after the break. Connection, and I'm your host, Daryl. I am the witness, and it's wonderful to be with you for this first time. I'd like to start this discussion, today's one-hour discussion, about basically about this story that I read about a six-year-old boy raised in New York City. It talks a great deal about his problems coping in a family with two fathers, essentially, and a gay couple. And he was actually being followed at NYU's School of Psychiatric Research because he was acting out so much. When you take a look at moral issues and look at people's moral compass, the issue for this list, for this broadcaster, is when you go down the road of making mistakes in morality, like all of us have. I mean, none of us are immune from doing these types of things. And you continue down that road, here's where the problems come. It becomes normative. It becomes acceptable. It becomes part of who you are. And what ends up happening is there's a transference between the people around you as seeing it as normal. And this is the beginning of the decay of a society. And we can see that in history, both in Rome and in Greece and actually in the French culture as well. And, you know, European acceptance of these things, you can look at a country, Holland, for example, where, you know, prostitution is not only legal, it's promoted in the society that, you know, people can go there and feel comfortable about using drugs and meeting their sexual needs and all this other stuff. And it ends up in a situation where people are, become lost. And if you walk the streets of the cities of Europe, you see a lot of advertising where the women on these advertisements are certainly being proposed as sexual objects and are virtually naked, in fact, on the billboards. And it's at a level where the Americans haven't reached yet, but they're certainly well on their way. When you combine that same feeling with the moral decay of violence, the combination is not surprising when we see increases in rape and abuse of women and, of course, abuse of children. So in order to take a look at the problems in our society, and if we were not to look at these problems first, we would definitely be not hitting the problems correctly. There is an article also where I'm looking right now on Propaganda Matrix, the great site Propaganda Matrix. It talks with Gloria Steinem. Says that her whole agenda was hijacked by the CIA, and feminism was to destabilize society. And it talks, the lead into it says, in the 1960s, the elite media invented second wave feminism as part of the elite agenda to dismantle civilization and create a new world order. Gloria Steinem became a media darling due to her CIA connections. So there you go, Gloria Steinem working closely with the CIA. And if any of you are old enough to remember this out there in the listening audience, I grew up in a family where my mom stayed home, and the family was supported by a father, and that seemed to be enough at the time. There was somebody there in the family to give guidance during the day. And as we all know, in the 1960s and 1970s, we completely re-engineered the family. And you can see the result, the violence rates, the murder rates, the criminality, the whole slope that we've slipped down into a almost a moralist society. And there is indications in what I read as to that having happened intentionally. How frightful it is. You know, they talk about here also on this website about, the sexual revolution being promoted through pornography. And, of course, the use of pornography has been around for hundreds, even thousands of years, but never on the kind of scale that we find it today. And of course, everybody in the listening audience probably, if they're normal Americans in this normal, this is the new normal, as it were, thinking, well, you know, if it's abused, it's a terrible thing, pornography. But the fact is, having it accepted in mainstream is an abuse, because anything that reaches an 18-year-old's eyes will certainly trickle down to a 14-year-old's and 12-year-old's and even down as young as 8 and 10-year-old's. And if these young children are trying to figure out the things about sex and whatnot from, they don't have the same kind of abilities to disseminate that information correctly, and of course they have a tendency to make errors when it comes to sexuality. And so in Britain, they give an example here on this website about young girls as young as 12 years old, 11 years old, actively seeking sex. And I have to say to you that's an incredible statistic, and it's frightful. And we also go on to talk about Christina Aguilera here. If you know anything about this new coming out she'd had, I can't help but wonder if she used it as a gimmick. It was offensive to me the first time I saw it, and I remember thinking to myself, this is pushing the envelope of bad taste. And yet, if you look on MTV, this gal's, you know, she's highlighted almost on every one of their channels throughout the day. And there are a lot of young women across our country who are trying to live up to the example she leads, and it's just disturbing. But at the same time, what ends up happening as this happens, also the attacks on children have increased. So, you know, if you're out there and you have children, both young boys and young girls in your family, the opportunities that are being made to have them end up as abuse victims has increased, you know, exponentially. And you know, none of us want to fall victim to this kind of menace. And the truth is it's our own actions that are providing the impetus for this kind of stuff. So, you know, as a first show, it's a difficult subject to take on, and it was a difficult one the other day when I took on, you know, the sexual abuse that was going on in our government. And it isn't just our government. This is a worldwide phenomenon. And I wonder if it's promoted by these people or it's just a societal thing. It's not clear to me where the promotion of this is coming from, except that you can see it in the educational structure as well. And, you know, when you have sex education with an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old, that's a problem. I mean, I seem to have had a decent education in my own right as a young child, and I don't remember 11 years old being the age that sex was introduced in my life. So these kinds of questions need to be addressed both by you know, by us as individuals, as patriots. Are we going to go the way of Rome? And that's a big question. Are we slipping into a darkness that we can't return from? And if we do save the country as patriots, what are we saving it for? Are we going to save it for homosexuality and pornography to flourish? Or are we going to save it for a decent, centered moral compass? And I would love you folks to weigh in on the question. Where you can call me at 800-313-9443, and I would love to hear your views on this. There are several other interesting points being made here. It talks about 11-year-olds being given free condoms. Oh, my goodness. As well as this one here is quite disturbing, and it talks about, says Channel 4 criticized over a 6 feet under advertisement. I've seen the show 6 feet under. It's broadcast here in Europe as well as in America, and for anybody who's seen the show, it's pretty disturbing in some of the images that they place on this show. But not just the images of death, which I think, you know, if tastefully handled, death is something we should all understand. And I think Americans do a disservice to themselves by alienating their feelings from death. But they also mix this in with a rather aggressive sexual overtones in their shows, both homosexually as well as heterosexually. And they did an advertisement here where they got a great number of complaints about their advertisement in ads. And it says right here, 6 feet under adverts under criticism. And, you know, just looking at the image alone, they're actually making it. It says the first advert is a naked man's shoulders and head foreground with a bottle labeled the interim, and it's embalming fluid. So what they've done is they've made a direct connection between embalming fluid and sex. And that's pretty vile, if you ask me. It stinks and smells of necrophilia. And to, you know, of course anybody would be shocked by this. And I think if these folks have actually gone out intentionally trying to shock their audience, then we've got a problem. And it talked about the complaints coming in right after, but you know what's wrong with the people not stopping this in advance of having put this on their programming? It makes you wonder if this is an intentional attempt at you know, degrading us. The next one that we talk about here also is the imagery used in some of the children's movies. And we have an example here of Harry Potter. The story of Harry Potter, he says, it's an allegory written and packaged to look like fantasy, when in truth it's a carefully written, true description of the training and work of an initiate into the occult. Now, the occult in children's lives, I mean, I remember as a child, having a Ouija board and thinking this was a lot of fun and wondering to myself if there was any truth to it. And I don't remember going down the road of this very deeply, but, you know, the truth of that I find here is that anybody who plays with these types of things is running the risk of destroying themselves mentally and spiritually. So please, if you have anything to weigh in, I'll be more than happy to take your calls. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and I am your host, Daryl. I am the witness, and I am this is my first show, for my first show when it's mine. It's called The French Connection. I would like to hear from you folks if you'd like to call me. It's 1-800-313-9443. And, the conversation we've been having about this stuff, some of you out there have been victimized by these new reality shows. And it seems like the shows that they're trying to put on the air, even here in Europe, in fact, they were invented here in Europe, and you may not know that. The first reality show was done in Holland, in Amsterdam. And the success of it caused them to package it and send it over to America. And we are all aware of the result. And it seems like what they're trying to do is outshock the last one. You know, how shocking can they make it, and how insulting and in your face can they do it? And I don't ever remember television being quite so, so bellicose and obtuse. And I wonder for a moment if these kinds of programmings are actually organized intentionally. Isn't there anyone out there saying to themselves, this has gone too far, or this is not working? And where is it they want to lead our country, the folks that are producing these kinds of things? And then the last question is, if, in fact, this is in this condition, maybe it's the people themselves that have lost their compass. And this is my argument. It's the public that has been led down this path and has almost wantonly allowed these things into their lives. You know, that television set that's sitting in front of you for many hours a day and in front of your children has a very powerful effect, not only psychically, it has an effect on the way you see the world. You know, there are hypnotic waves coming out of that television set, and I'm not talking about, tin hat and antennas on your head kind of waves. I'm talking about it does something physically to your alpha wave. It lulls you into almost a hypnotic state where suggestion can actually be placed into your head. Now, the truth is, as we watch shows, especially with content that is immoral or questionably moral, what we're doing is we're regularizing or we're normalizing, immoral behavior or for lack of a better term, we're putting sickness into the minds of our public. And one of the things the French have done over the years is limited children's exposure to violence. They don't allow a great deal of violence in programming. In other words, the American films and programming that kind of highlights gun use and shooting of people and such is very restricted in its access to children. And they actually were forerunners here of restricting, showing restrictive indicators on the screen, allowing people to make a decision of not to watch this. And they promote frequently the idea that violence is going to lead to problems in the society. And, the concept of this, I think, is absolute. The connection to this is absolute. We live in America in an extraordinarily violent country. I think in France, where I'm at, if in a year's time there are, you know, there are 25 or 30 murders, that's a lot. And I'm not aware of the statistics. Someone might be able to correct me on that. It might be somewhat higher than that, but it's certainly not in the many thousands. And, you know, New York City alone has many thousands of murders a year. So one might wonder what it is about our society that is promoting this kind of violent, you know, outburst by our public. Some say it's guns. I don't believe that, because guns don't kill people. People do. And I'm a firm believer in that, and I'm a firm believer that the gun is maybe the only barrier between us and tyranny. So, you know, the protection of our right to have an arm is absolute. But one might wonder, using, this model, the use of firearms and the use of guns in crime, is it because we promote the kind of violence on our televisions and in our advertising that we have? And it's a question that I think should be addressed not only by our public, but the public should be outraged when they see things that are overtly violent, and especially if it's accessing their children. And then the last place I think we could probably talk about is the internet. I mean, any child with a first grade education can find their way onto the net. And as anyone knows, both sex and violence are quite frequently available. Both of these things an 8-year-old could probably find their way into with very little restriction. Now, I'm not a believer in censorship at all. I would rather censor things for children, but not for adults. I would rather teach people away from immorality as adults. But children need to be protected, because in this modern world, their parents and an adult, sadly, can't be around to monitor their behavior and keep them away from some of these things. So it's important, I believe, that we take a look at some of these issues. And I wish it that someone out there would be able to give me a call and maybe weigh in on some of these issues. The number is 800-313-9443. I'll talk to you after the break. Welcome back to The French Connection, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Daryl. I am the witness, and it's great to be with you today on my first show. We've been talking about the moral decay of our Western societies, not only in the North American area, but in Europe. And we have a caller on the line. John, you're on the air, John. Nice to talk to you. Hello, John. Are you with me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Sure can, John. How are you?
Can you hear me? Good. So I'd like to say hi to you and congratulations on your show. As a listener of the network, I've heard you call up many times. So congratulations. It's good to hear you now coming on with a show of your own.
Well, thanks, John. I've shared this with others. There's a lot of skill that needed to be brought to this. It's harder than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to keep an engaged audience, I think, is probably a lot more complicated than people might think. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, this subject, I want to tell the listeners, John, and I'd like you to know, I'm not in this for a paycheck. I don't have a website. I don't have a book. I don't have a T-shirt. I don't have any kind of goods or services to peddle. I'm kind of in this strictly to try to make a difference. And, you know, to be given the opportunity to make a difference is in itself the reward, I think, for me at least. So the bottom line is that when we're talking about these subjects, I got to tell you, I think the country needs to do a shift of gears and re-engineer itself. And I'm wondering what you think about that.
Well, I have been listening to what you've been saying about pornography and homosexuality and violence. And I think you're right that there is a link between these things. As I go out and I see, occasionally I'll go out to one of these, I have internet at home, but occasionally I'll go out to one of these internet cafes and I'll see, you know, the high school kids in there, I don't know, 14-year-old, 15-year-old boys are playing these, you know, Doom and these games where they're, you know, they're going around with the shotgun blowing people's heads off, where they're going into these, you know, incredibly violent kinds of virtual environments.
Yeah.
And it seems to me when you take that along with the pornography on the internet, it all does seem sort of to fit together and the sorts of things that young people are being introduced to. They're being introduced into this virtual world, and it's like creating orcs for the army. It's like the army of orcs that's being created here. The people with virtually no moral compass, they're in this completely virtual world. They're spending enough time there that it affects their perceptions and their reality in the actual world. Where then when they come into the actual world, they're in the same sort of environment where their own desires and their own fears are the only things that they recognize as real.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And here's the thing. And I'll give you a good example. I remember this Lara Croft video that they came out with, and they talked about the making of this particular video game. And of course, their first design turned out that she needed larger breasts and to attract the young boys and more violence. And now, when I watched this show about the making of this video game, and they said that they did these two things specifically to target young boys, so they've made this link between sex and violence. And I mean, since when does violence and sex have a connection?
Well, there's always been a connection in the sense that they're both things that are related to a sort of materialism and a desire. The sex is the sort of the beginning of the desire, and then violence is the frustration of the desire.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've always linked sex to love. And I maybe I'm naive.
Different kinds of sex, right? I mean, love is a more mature form of sex, but the sort of pubescent form of sex I don't think is necessarily love. Would you agree with that?
Well, you know, it is their first foray. And if you give a young 14-year-old boy's first foray into sex...
You got a point there. That's true, too.
With a direct link to violence, I think he may carry that same link forward into his life.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. There definitely is a danger there. I'm sure you're aware that you know, China has, to some extent, outlawed the pornography on the internet, right?
Well, if they have... kudos to them. I mean, not necessarily that
yeah, you can look it up online, Dale, if you haven't seen it.
I'm certainly against censoring anything, okay, for adults. I don't think anybody should censor anything that I can see. However, I do not want my children exposed to things that are going to make these kind of impressions on them. And so what we need to do here is to figure out why it is that we're targeting our children. I mean, because it seems pretty clear to me, both here in Europe and as well as in America, that they're targets for this stuff. And
yeah,
somebody needs to be held accountable for the targeting of our children in this way. Who's being brought to the carpet for this, John? Nobody's being held accountable.
Right. Well, There's a problem here too, and it is a fine line. And to me, it's a question of, I mean, I don't have any, you know, conclusions on this. It's a very wide ranging issues here, and you know, it's easy to criticize. It's a lot more difficult to talk about real solutions. And I think these issues, they do go to the heart of the society. And so, really, to just, you know, put more controls on the internet, this is like kind of cosmetic, right? I mean, we really need to get to the heart of bringing people up with solid values from day one. We need to get to, you know, what is a real state of our political structure.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you're from Canada, and I'm aware.
Well, I'm an American as well. I've just recently come to Canada, actually.
Well, let me ask you this then. You know, you're in a society that actually allows gun ownership, and that most Canadians are gun owners. So, but they don't have the same violence problems in their large cities, in both Toronto and Vancouver and Montreal. And I'm wondering if you've been able to see or glean from your experience there why it is their society is so less violent, having the same number of weapons available.
Well, you know, I don't know how much longer that's going to last, to tell you the truth. I think probably a big part of it is that there's not as many poor people here in Canada. There's more sort of social services. That's probably has something to do with it. I think there's much less of, as I said, I'm not an expert on the issue. I wouldn't call myself an authority. But my guess is it has to do with that, not as much poverty. It has to do with the fact there's not as many illegal immigrants, maybe,
okay,
coming to Canada.
And how about drug problems?
We don't have the people that came out of what was originally the slave trade in the United States.
Yeah,
and of course that's related to the economic inequality issue as well. And my guess is that's, a big part of it. I wanted to talk, though, about the pornography and the homosexuality and these things and that issue.
Okay.
And the fact that this is often used, something that obviously you said you didn't like censorship.
Right.
And my concern about that is that I can agree with you and say, wow, look at this moral degeneration. This is really something else. We're in a whole other dimension with this now, the United States. At the same time, this is so often used as a sort of, Trojan horse, like the gay marriage issue with George W. Bush,
Right.
Now this, the pornography and especially child pornography on the internet is then used as the excuse for, George Tenet or whomever to then come and say, oh, look at these horrible things, to panic the public. We got to come in here. We got to do something. They're corrupting our children.
You're exactly right.
And then to limit our access to sites like Propaganda Matrix or RBN or From the Wilderness or What Really Happened or whatever, right?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And the truth of the matter is, who's going to decide what's censorable and what isn't, and where are they when are they going to stop when it affects them, maybe?
Right.
So I live in a country here that has a policy of non-censorship, but in the real world there is censoring going on here in Europe. If you want to do research on Nazism and whatnot, I mean, you may be doing it for an intellectual paper. You've got to be very careful.
Yeah, they have
how
that in Canada
it.
As well. They have the whole, you've heard of the Ernst Zundel case, perhaps. I'm familiar with the laws in Germany regarding that, and they have them in France as well, where they call these people, Holocaust revisionists or whatever.
Exactly right.
And just for holding these views, for saying that, maybe the stories have been, exaggerated. These people get thrown in prison, and, in the Zundel case of this fellow, not only did they throw him in prison, they won't tell him what for, they won't let him see the evidence against him. Now they've deported him, because they're going to deport him to Germany or something, where maybe he can be put in prison legally for life, for suggesting that the story that we've been given as far as what were the realities of the Holocaust were perhaps somewhat inflated. I don't know one way or the other. Maybe he's wrong, maybe he's not, but he does deserve, in either case, to at least be able to say what he's saying without, exercising freedom of speech without being put in prison illegally, right?
Well, the right to free speech means, for me, that I would defend as much as something that would make my stomach turn if it were coming out of the mouth of another,
right,
with my life, because, who decides and what they decide, but that's not where we're heading. You're familiar with this case about the First Amendment rights here with this Christian group talking about homosexuality in Pennsylvania, and they're being threatened with court. Well, they said it was against the Bible and against God's moral law, and they were arrested and threatened with 47 years in prison. And they have a video of this whole event and their arrest and everything. And frankly, I got to be honest with you, John, very little out of the ordinary there. No violence, no threat, no nothing, just basically talking against homosexuality, got them in prison and has them facing 47
years. That's in France.
No, that's in Pennsylvania.
That's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, that's pretty scary. You know, there's a lot of scary things happening now. I don't know what the solutions are. I don't know if there are any. All I can say, it seems to me, you know, obviously we all do what we can in our own little way. For instance, you know, some are doing in a more significant way here. You're doing something with this show. You're getting the message out to people. I think that's a great thing. I hope it continues. I hope to see it grow. I'm doing things in my own little way here in Canada of trying to, you know, fight some of the changes that are happening here in terms of some of the reforms of our.
How do you think the fight's going, John, personally? I mean,
well,
what's
I'll tell
your
you,
personal
I'm trying to, I think I'm trying to, I want to move to Europe here. I think I can't see Canada surviving, really. I can't see North America. I think things are going to get better eventually, but I think it's going to have to just sort of collapse of its own weight here, the system. I don't think, I'm not sure that there's anything, it's so far gone now. I mean, I don't know if there's really anything that we can do to save the existence. I mean, we can form our own networks, you know, and try to become self-sustaining communities. And for me, obviously, I tuned out the whole mainstream media thing, television, all this many years ago. So I'm not really so much involved with that. I mean, I see it, I guess, on the subway when I see their advertising or something, but I don't watch it or, you know.
Well, I'm not a television watcher either, John. You know something, I picked up the reins of this fight strictly as a volunteer, and it's going to remain that way for me. I want to remain you know, this is not gainful employment for me. This is an opportunity for me to share with like-minded people across America and potentially like-minded people that we have a job to do, that the job is we can fix these problems with the right impetus, with the right efforts, and that we can do it in a way that doesn't necessarily have to lead to violence. And I often hear callers and people get on and say, well, we're going to end up in violence. Now, you know, that may be true, but I don't want to be the guy that's going to promote that kind of behavior, because I believe what we need is we have to change ourselves from inside before any of the outside stuff's going to change.
That's right, yeah. Go ahead, sorry to interrupt.
Well, one of the things I'm wondering, you know, is with all the blasting media in the faces of the American public and their predilection to watching this stuff on television, almost like voyeurs, are we really you know, rolling the big ball uphill, or are we actually, you know, are we making a dent? It's questionable, and I ask to take the temperature of people.
There are a lot of good people in the United States. I lived there for many years, and I think that the mainstream media and the existing so-called government of the United States is not a fair representation of the people of the United States.
I think you're right.
But it's unfortunate that these people, this Wolfowitz, Bush, the Dick Cheneys of the world, all of these people that are really, they're not even Americans, they're these transnational corporations, they don't identify themselves with the United States. They're international. And they're, you know, the New World Order or whatever you call it.
Well, you're right, and I think that the label is less important than the action.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't necessarily need to label anybody anything. Just look what they're doing.
Yeah, they have got their hands on the levers of power, and
yep.
They're very firmly entrenched at this point.
Yep.
And I think really all that we can do, I don't think that violence, you know, obviously, you know, can be able to defend yourself when they come for you, but as far as violent resistance or violent demonstrations, I think they want that, you know, because they do have control of this huge military industrial complex, and they definitely have the power to, you know, stamp on that. And when you're violent, you give them the excuse to do that, right?
You're right.
But
to
clamp down even further. And in fact, you know, we've seen they fabricate these violent events in order to have the excuse to stamp on it.
What's that Hegelian dialectic, which
yeah.
is, you know,
yeah.
you know, create it, ferment it, and then fix it. And we're definitely in that. You know, the problem
we do is roll with our wallets. I think, you know, we don't support these corporations. Don't invest in them. Don't buy their products.
My sentiment exactly.
As much as possible, you can avoid doing that. I think that's plus.
I think you're onto something there. And you'll find, you know, if you want to type into the internet Lou Dobbs list, just type that in. And get the list of the companies that are really selling North American continent out by moving their production offshore.
How do I spell it?
Lou Dobbs, he's the CNN announcer, L-O-U, D-O-B-B-S, Lou Dobbs. He's a presenter for CNN, but he's been a staunch critic of...
So that's LouDobbs.com or LouDobbsList.com?
No, the Lou Dobbs list of companies. Just write that in Google.
Okay.
And what you're going to get out of that is he got a list compiled of all the companies that are selling America out. And if you want a list of companies not to do business with, there's a pretty good place to start.
Okay, well, it's been great talking with you, Dick.
Wonderful, John. Thank you so much. I'll never forget you. You're my first caller on my show, and I'm very glad you called.
Well, thank you very much. I hope to hear more from you in the days to come.
Thank you,
bye,
sir. We'll be right back on the other side of the break, and it's great to be talking to you guys. See you soon. And we're back to the final segment of the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a fast hour. John's call was really quite enlightening, and we also have another call, Dave from Michigan. Are you there, Dave?
I am right here.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I was listening to your substituting for John on Saturdays the last couple of weeks. I think you're pretty good.
Well, thank you very much. I do my best.
Where in France are you?
Oh, I'm in central France, actually.
I mean... just outside of Paris, or
no? I'm a few hundred miles south of Paris.
Like Lyon, or
yeah, well, actually, in the countryside of Lyon.
Oh well, I'm getting there.
Well, have you been to France?
Oh yeah, I've mostly been to Paris. Been there a couple times.
Do you speak French?
Very badly.
Very badly. Well, what's on your mind today, Dave?
Well, John was saying there they don't have an illegal alien problem there in Canada.
Yeah,
it's because they're all crossing through Windsor to Michigan.
Yeah. Boy, you know, one of the things is America was formed as an immigrant nation, but they didn't. It wasn't formed as an unrestricted, unregulated immigrant nation. They did it with some forethought, and they did it with some intent. They didn't just let people come across willy nilly. And the problem seems to me is that they've just lost complete control of our borders, and that's never been the case before. And that, you know, unrestricted immigration to America is going to be the death nail. It's in my view.
Well, you know, the last time I went to Europe, I ended up there at Heathrow in London.
Yeah.
I looked at my passport and they put a stamp in it: entry for 6 months, no working allowed.
Okay.
That's what it said right on my passport, that I wasn't allowed to work anywhere in the EU.
Well, that I don't remember seeing that on my passport, but you know,
I
don't work.
Kind of shifty, you know what I mean?
What do you do? But I don't work here anyway, because it's just that, you know, I don't do that. But and that's probably why I ended up on the radio. I got some time on my hands, actually, you know. But the truth is that Europe's got its own problems with immigration, and most of their immigration problems are coming from North Africa and Central Africa, and they've got their own clandestine population slipping through their nets as well. However, they're acting a little bit more aggressively against them, throwing them back out. They're not a lot.
Especially the Dutch are getting tired of it.
Well, they've had some murders that they've been able to rally support against immigrants. In fact, they've got a large Moroccan population up there, and let me tell you, I'll give you a rundown of the groups. France has the Algerians, Italy has the Albanians, Spain has the Moroccans, and so does Holland, and the Germans have the Turks. And each country, and then, of course, Britain has Pakistani and Indian. And each country has imported their own group of immigrant. And when the EU is, the borders come down, which they are now, you're going to get a mixture, and especially with the East 25 nations coming. There are a lot of people worried who live here that there is a chance that this place is going to be overwhelmed. But there is a very strong fascist anti-immigrant populace here, and they will strike back. If you take a look at your European history, they don't fool around here, Dave.
Well, you know, they like to reconstrue that as being the fascist element. It's actually the nationalist element.
Well, it is.
It doesn't really appreciate that. Just like over there in Austria, there's the Freedom Party.
Well, Dave, you know what?
They passed them off as neo-Nazis, and they're actually libertarians.
Well, you know something, Dave? This is the end of my first show, and I want to thank you for calling in. Please call anytime you like.
I'll be back.
Folks, thanks a lot for joining me with the French Connection, and I hope to be back with you tomorrow night. See you then.